The Bethel Deliverance app is now available to download for free at Apple Store and Google Play. You can tune into Sunday services through live stream, view video sermons on demand, listen to audio messages through podcasts, send prayer requests, communicate through social media, and you can contribute to the ministry simply by using today's technology. Get access to all of Bethel's media outlets and church events right at your fingertips. Go to the Apple Store or Google Play and download Bethel Deliverance to get connected today.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
From the book of St. John, we want to continue to examine the life of the Christian. How then are we to live? How should we live as Christians? How should we live? We're going to identify the more revolutionary aspect of your Christian life. While sanctification and holiness are prominent, you must understand that sanctification and holiness refers to your attitude towards God. Your holiness has nothing to do with me. Your sanctification has nothing to do with me. So therefore, the practice of holiness and sanctification does not impact me. So you're not doing that to gain brownie points with me so that I can say that you are truly a child of God because you live a quote-unquote holy, sanctified life. From a scriptural perspective, holiness and sanctification refer solely to your walk with God. If you remember in the book of Exodus, when God comes down and talks to Moses, he says, tell the people to sanctify themselves. Tell the husbands not to come against their wives. Don't have any physical intimacy for 3 days. Tell them to wash their bodies and wash their clothes because I'm coming down. That particular passage tells us that holiness is designed solely for God. So we don't make a big deal about it. We don't announce our holiness because it's for God. Are you with me? Everyone understand? So you don't brag about it. You don't make a big deal about it. You don't become a card-carrying holiness person. Now, the second part of that is that it really has nothing to do with the wearing of hair or clothes. It has nothing to do with that. God told them that specifically for that one instance. But he didn't deal with that anymore. He simply, through the Holy Spirit, tells Paul to tell him to dress modestly. So you can't go around and say you're holy because, lady, your dress is all the way down to your ankles, or man, your clothes is a certain way. No, that does not make you holy. Holiness is a condition of the heart. It is so fundamentally spiritual that Adam was not holy. He was innocent. Because he was innocent, he had no knowledge of sin. So he didn't need to be holy. Adam was not set apart for God. Adam was created to run the world. You and I are set apart for God. But we talked about holiness, and we've all come up under the burden or the yoke of holiness. Don't wear certain things. Don't do certain things. My mama, bless her heart, she used to say to me, you can't have ladies singing with no sleeves on their arms, and they had to wear stockings. And I would say, well, why? She said, because that's how we were taught. And so a lot of things were carried on into a new generation simply because of old ideology. It wasn't biblical. You understand? So our forefathers in Pentecost created a world of holiness that was almost impossible to keep. Don't go to the beach. Don't go to the movies. You know, listen carefully. Don't play cards. Don't play any games that require cards or dice. Don't do any of that because you're holy. And all it really did was make you do it because we have a penchant for doing what we're told not to do. But yet throughout the Bible, God says holiness is only related to him. Because we're holy, we enter into his presence. Because we're holy, we have fellowship and time with him. and everything else becomes dull in his presence. Now, God says, holiness and sanctification is for me. So when you walk in sanctification, and I will underscore the verb, when you practice, two lines, sanctification, it is just that, practicing. You will never get it right till you die. Because every day the Holy Spirit shows you something else that you've been doing that you didn't know you were doing it, and then you have to get cleansed from that, and then tomorrow he's going to show you you had a rotten attitude, then Tuesday he's going to show you you had a lustful spirit, and then Wednesday he's going to show you you've been talking about the pastor every day, and then Thursday he's going to show you you've been talking about the pastor every day, and then Friday he's going to show you you've been talking about the pastor every day. And so each day there is a ceremonial cleansing. That's why we practice holiness. It is an ongoing thing. Now, God says, all right, now we have that squared away. You're holy, that way you relate to me. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? They that have clean hands. Now, again, what does that mean? Does that mean the absence of sin? No, it means the presence of repentance. People with clean hands, it simply means they constantly check to see if there are any things in our lives that can keep us from walking with God. When you walk with God and you begin to sense an emptiness or you begin to sense something wrong, then the first thing you do is look inside yourself and say, have I done anything or have I said anything? That represents a broken conscience. But when you're arrogant and you say, oh, no, I'm fine, it's just the devil, you know, the first insight is ourselves. In Psalm 51, after David was convicted of his sin with Bathsheba and then the ultimate sin of murder of her husband Uriah, the Bible says after the prophet comes to tell him what he's done wrong, he immediately goes and writes Psalm 51. When he wrote that psalm, he said, Lord, I've sinned against you and you only, and I need you to wash me. That's why God called him a man after his own heart, because he was ever mindful of the fact that he could mess up. I love that. David wasn't Pentecostal. He was Presbyterian. Because Pentecostals never accept sin. They always blame the devil. It's the devil that made me steal. It's the devil that made me lie. It's the devil. No, the devil doesn't have anything to do with your behavior. He's an influence, and you can reject him. Now, when you move into this next segment, God says, all right, now we've dealt with how you deal with God. You have to be clean. You have to be clean, ceremonially, mentally, physically clean. Now, you're not always going to do it, but at least you are convicted by the Holy Spirit. Okay, when he convicts you, say, I'm guilty, and throw yourself on the mercy of the court, and don't try to argue it off. Lord, I did it. I'm sorry. Help me. And don't lie to him. Don't tell him I won't do it again. Tell him, if I get the opportunity to get away with it, I'm going to do it again. I need your help. Why? Because the Bible says he looks at us and he sees that we are dust. We can't help ourselves. Okay, now, God says you're to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Powerful passage. Has nothing to do with evangelism per se, but everything to do with this second segment of this message. The Bible teaches us in John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them until the end. And so now we're shifting. You're going to go from holiness, which is by comparison to what we're discussing now. Holiness is easier than what we're about to address, because holiness is towards God. And that means that God will fill the gaps that our efforts leave. He will fill the gaps that our efforts leave. In other words, you're really going to try to live holy, so you're going to try not to curse, you're going to try not to drink, you're going to try not to smoke, and the Holy Spirit will enable you to avoid those behaviors. Sometimes from a natural perspective and sometimes from a spiritual perspective. That means that the Holy Spirit will work with you from the inside to help kill certain behavioral traits. But it also means that he will affect those things on the outside to prevent you from doing it. For example, he may get into the mind of the cigarette manufacturer and tell them to raise the prices so that you can't afford them. If you understand God, he does mess with your physical world. God will fix it so people who will pull you down to do things that are not godly, he will fix it so they don't want any bother with you. He'll raise up somebody else to turn those folk against you. And he's fully involved in the process because he knows that if I don't take this physical step, you're going to constantly be pulled in to what's not wholesome. Boy, did that change your view of God. So it says here that he loved them until the end. Now, there are two primary emotional responses to the kingdom of heaven. Number one is joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So that means that joy becomes a paramount response. We are joyful people. It does not mean we're not angry. It doesn't mean that we don't get frustrated. It doesn't mean that there are times when we're sad. It doesn't mean that those things don't happen, but it means the foundation of our existence is joy. Now, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Joy is what lives in you. Happiness is a place you visit from time to time. So you will not be happy all the time. If someone dies, you're not happy. If somebody that you care for is hurt, you're not happy. If you're feeling ostracized by a so-called friend, you're not happy. But it's the joy that will allow you to go through the moments of sorrow, the moments of despair, and return to a place of wholeness and emotional and mental soundness. So stop getting up in the morning looking for everything to be hunky-dory. This ain't Oz, it's America. You are going to hurt. Bad things are going to happen to you and to members of your family. Negative things are going to come into your life. But the response is the joy of the Lord is going to bring you through it with tears, with frustration, and sometimes with doubt. When you are comfortable with the sovereign will of God, you will understand that God will carry you through even when you're doubting. God's faith has nothing to do with your doubt. He will carry you through your doubt until your doubt becomes strong enough to become your faith. The Bible proves that. Peter had faith, then doubt. Faith to get out the boat, faith to start to walk, doubt to sink, but faith enough to call Jesus. So even in moments of doubt, Jesus will still pick you up. My God, when are we going to realize that he wants to do everything for us?
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2117A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14. Which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and broadcast television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.